This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right. So it's the question that everyone wants to know today. Will it be used? Will it be used? It's been used probably about 300 times since about a year ago when CJ Stroud arrived in Houston.
I wish we could take bets on this.
We're going to hear from CJ. Oh, we can. We're going to hear from CJ Stroud at noon, along with D'Amico Ryans, along with Will Anderson. So you don't want to go anywhere. We haven't heard from him in a while. The question is this, though. We've seen Stephon Diggs working out with CJ Stroud. We've seen them going back and forth. Will Stephon Diggs, will the B word be used by CJ Stroud to describe Stephon Diggs? Is Stephon Diggs already one of CJ Stroud's brothers? He has, Tank's been his brother since day one. Nico's been his brother since day one. Laramie Tunsil, this will be the ultimate test. We're not going to hear from Stephon Diggs. So if we don't hear the B word from CJ Stroud, I'm not saying you got to panic. But you got to wonder if he's going to fit in as well as we think. Will the B word be used for Stephon Diggs at noon?
And not just will it be used, but specifically will it be used to describe Stephon Diggs? Because I think we can get enough cheese in this press conference for him to drop a brother or brotherhood somewhere in there.
Yes.
But it's got to be specifically to describe yes. Stephon Diggs for it to qualify, right?
Figgy, are we going to get a B word to describe Stephon Diggs? Is he already one of his brothers or not?
I think so. I think we're going to get a B word.
I would bet the over on this. Hey. If you're setting it at 0.5, I'm betting the over.
If that happens, you got to put CJ Stroud number two on the fantasy football draft board, right behind perhaps Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean, he's got
at quarterback.
I mean, look at what he's got. He's got like an embarrassment of riches at weapons, man. I think he will, based off of what you've seen on Instagram. You've seen video or audio from them talking at the Pro Bowl. Like, also that, when did y'all become brothers exactly?
Yeah.
Like how long, not only are you brothers.
I don't think it takes long.
Are you just like it's instant leadership. Brothers? Is it like brotherhood at first sight? How does it work?
It's the leadership, man. You're going to see CJ up there.
I'm excited to hear from the QB, though.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear from D'Amico.
We got all of them.
You know, this will be the first public words on Stephon Diggs. Like, we haven't heard D'Amico. We haven't heard Caserio. We've heard no one speak on Stephon Diggs.
Why wouldn't they want to brag about this, Landry?
I don't know.
I'm curious about that.
You know how I am with press conferences.
Well, let me ask you. Forget how, being the media guy. Let's make you in the position of D'Amico or Nick Caserio. You're the guy who, in part, is responsible for bringing in Stephon Diggs on the back end of everything else that you've already done with the organization. Drafted C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson the year before. The season you had, the offseason that you had up until that point was already successful. You're the guy that's responsible for it. Would you not want to brag about it or pat yourself on the back?
I mean, I would.
It's a little odd.
I mean, there's a lot of excitement. You heard Hannah McNair with Jason Bristol basically say that her kids, they stopped school to talk about Stephon Diggs.
He's a popular dude.
So maybe we get to see him. I don't know whether he's going to be there or not, but I would assume that's going to be one of the questions that C.J. Stroud gets asked.
Do you remember, we're all old enough, I think, at this point to remember when we were asking the question of, like, whose jersey are they going to sell?
Yeah.
Do they have that problem anymore?
No.
That was the case before they got Stephon Diggs. Now you add that, Stephon Diggs, number one, this whole, like, 713 cheesy thing that we do where you got Stroud, Dell, Diggs, everybody out there. I mean, there's a vibe there. I don't know why they're not embracing it a little bit more. Maybe they will today.
Maybe we'll get some hype. We'll hear what they what they got to say in the noon hour. Landry Locker, B. Scott in for John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Astros, man, they showed some life. And I got to wonder.
About damn time.
Did the Rangers make a mistake in throwing at Yordan Alvarez? The game was kind of out of control when this happened. The Astros were down 12-3. They responded with a 5-run inning there. Kyle Tucker flipped the bat, and they outscored the Rangers 22-7 after that. Ended up taking 2 out of 3. Could I interest you in a stat?
Yes, sir.
The Astros are 4-3 versus the Rangers and 2-8 versus everyone else. So
just put them on the schedule. They're the new A's for the Astros.
It is good, though, to see this team has somewhat of a pulse, because that did feel a lot like a response. And Kyle Tucker kind of ignited it, and they ended up taking 2 of 3. Now they got the Braves, though. Rotation not quite lined up the way that you would like with Arrigetti tonight.
Yeah, well, yeah, we were just talking about that.
Hunter Brown tomorrow. JP France Wednesday.
Before that, though, like, can we talk about the irony of the pulse coming from Kyle Tucker? Were you expecting that?
No.
For Kyle Tucker to be
the
pulse?
Bat.
To be the one to be like, hey, man. That's not what I was expecting.
Nah, he flipped the bat.
Not at all.
Yeah. Shout out to Tuck.
But and also, why are you throwing a Yordan? Like, what are we doing?
What did he do?
What did he do? Other than be awesome at baseball,
of all people to throw at, Yordan.
Yordan seems so unproblematic.
When I step into the box, I have to be ready for anything.
Let's hear angry Kyle Tucker. What does angry Kyle Tucker sound like? This was him after the game. This was him with the great Brian McTaggart. What does an angry Kyle Tucker sound like?
Like this?
Well, yeah, really appreciate it. I mean, whether it was an accident or not, I mean, missed him 4 times then. Almost hitting him twice and then hitting him. Not really a good look. We didn't really appreciate that, which I don't think anyone would. Kind of how things started and how it went.
Seemed like you said to something when you hit that ball and the bat flip, angst or aggression right there.
Yeah, just a little reaction to it. Just didn't really appreciate that bat before and how it went and kind of how it went.
Obviously, a history between these two teams. Does that carry over here or just from that one moment?
Anytime, you know, a guy gets, you know, 4 pitches in on him and almost hitting him a couple times and then actually hitting him. Sure, any team wouldn't really appreciate that, whether it was an accident or not, but it is what it is. Just move on tomorrow and try and win it.
I know a thing or two about good defense.
Man, he's angry.
Man, that's who I want on my side in the scrap.
Hey, they replied, though.
Man, he is the driver at the bar fight. You go get in the car. When they start shooting, you go get in the car, bro.
So we're 10 days away from the NFL draft. Now, Nick Caserio, he's been pretty aggressive the last couple of years. Are you sensing some aggression with Nick Caserio? Because I don't think he's going to be as aggressive as he's been previously. I think they like where they're sitting heading into day two where they have 3 picks. I just don't see the aggressiveness as much. I could be wrong. He's proven me wrong before. I just don't feel it.
Yeah, so aggressive is just not the word that I would use. I don't think he's necessarily going to be aggressive. The thing that I just always expect with him come draft time is activity. That's the other A word I would use instead of aggressive. Just active. Could he move up? Could he move back? You got to kind of have your head on a swivel with Nick Caserio and be prepared for anything. I mean, just look at how he's dealt with these last 2 drafts. You know, trading away a first-round pick to move up in the draft, and then trading away a first-round pick to move back in the draft the next year, turning those picks into Will Anderson and Stephon Diggs, respectively. Like, it depends on how you define aggression. And then you got to kind of follow the rabbit trail of what exactly it is that he's doing. What is he setting up? So, I don't know. It's hard to call it exactly aggressive without exactly knowing what direction he's going in. He could be zigging while you're zagging. You know, so you just got to kind of keep up more than anything, because you know he's going
to
be
had to be talked into anything. Like, do you think there's anything that Nick Caserio has had to be talked into, like where maybe one side of the room wanted Stephon Diggs more, or he wanted, like, do you think that if you had to guess, who was the one that was the most adamant about adding Stephon Diggs?
Oh, if I had to guess, I'd say D'Amico, just based off of, I think D'Amico has more of an appetite for a player that could go sideways, right? I think probably D'Amico has more of an appetite for that as a former player. And then also, when I think about the way he talked about the position, at the combine, I think it was, right? We want separators and all that kind of thing. Okay, well, Stephon Diggs, that's what Stephon Diggs is. He basically described Stephon Diggs, and then they went and traded for Stephon Diggs. So if I had to guess between the two of them, or like if we're just talking about the hierarchy, I would say D'Amico. It was D'Amico who wanted Stephon Diggs. But why would Nick Caserio not, right? Like, it just made sense. Like, if you could pull it off, you know, who wanted Keenan Allen? Was that D'Amico or was that Nick Caserio? I would say if I was going to put it on Caserio, I'd say everything that they adjusted on was Caserio, you know, or was Caserio having to probably concede on something, right? Like, hey, we can't trade for Keenan Allen. Okay, well, now what do we do? Well, hell, I want Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, right? So a pivot?
Yeah.
Because I think that's what Nick Caserio's identity is, pivoting, changing, adjusting, evolving. Yeah.
But see that. But to me, whenever you have to pivot, that's when you need more input. I feel like that's when you need more collaboration. Like maybe you were the originator of this idea, and then it doesn't work. Okay, guys, what do y'all think? So to me, once the pivot happens, I feel like there's even more collaboration at that point.
Do you think the Deshaun Watson thing can actually make him better in the future? Like, in other words, you start off your tenure if you're Nick Caserio. First thing that happens, Deshaun Watson demands a trade. Months later, you have all the allegations and stuff. You're in a unique spot because you basically are at the mercy of the legal system when it comes to whether or not you should trade him. Then you're kind of at the mercy of the no trade clause. So you have to go through that wild situation. You have to wait it out. Some people are saying you got to get rid of it. And it's just kind of a unique situation. Much like when you're in the on deck circle and you have the donut and then you pop the donut down and it's just easier to swing the bat after you have that big ass donut on there. Do you think there's something to be said for, A, not having very many expectations the first 2 years where you're kind of able to get through the mud, and then, B, you start with the Watson thing and then everything else just becomes kind of easy after that?
Yeah, I think once you compare Watson to, like, just straight-up free agency or making decisions about trading your draft pick, the picks that you got from the Watson trade, like, the Watson trade makes all of the rest of it look like child's play. You know, because you're managing all of these other things. The uniqueness of the no trade clause, like you mentioned, the uniqueness of Deshaun Watson's situation off the field, like you mentioned, and then just the fact that you're getting there, getting this job with a franchise quarterback, and then immediately having to adjust. You talk about that being, and I know y'all talked about this on the show, that being Nick Caserio's superpower. Well, he had to try to flex it and figure it out. It was like the first thing he had to do. You know, you think you're getting Deshaun Watson, or you might be getting Deshaun Watson, and then all of a sudden you're not. So to me, everything else after that, the decisions to draft C.J. Stroud, number 2 overall, right? So, like, you've been helped because the first guy's been picked for you, right? So, like, you don't have to go, do I go C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young? No, I get the number 2 overall pick. I'm just going to draft C.J. Stroud. The decisions to trade the picks for Will Anderson, all of that is child's play compared to what you're dealing with the Deshaun Watson situation. Easy. Like, if I can get through that, I can get through anything.
Yeah, if you can just be patient, get through that, now all of a sudden, you know, hey, trade up from 12 to 3, big deal.
Yeah.
Will Anderson?
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs? Okay, I can
shoulder
deal with
shrug.
That. I can deal with the distraction. Have you seen me? Have you seen what I've had to deal with?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it.
And it might even turn out to be, and it seems like it so far, hey, I draft a left guard in the first round and it doesn't work out. All right, like, I can survive that. I had a franchise quarterback who wanted out as soon as I got here.
So we have the Astros taking the lead in the boot standings, the silver boot, little boot scooting boogie. We got the Texans. We're going to hear them finally in their silence in less than 2 hours. And then the bow was put on a season yesterday. A season was completed. A 500 season, 41-41. Houston Rockets finished the season 41-41. I was one game off on my prediction. How you feeling about the Rockets? Because I've heard something interesting about the Rockets that perhaps we're looking in the wrong areas when it comes to asking the biggest question of the offseason.
Yeah. So for me, the best thing I can say about it is that it's the first offseason since this quote-unquote rebuild where I didn't feel like you had to get rid of people. Like, every offseason, they've had a player or a coach or somebody where you're like, you know what, they can stand to move off of that guy, or they're not going anywhere if that guy's their first or second or third best player. Like, this whole thing needs to be remade, or they need to add pieces. Like, they obviously need to make some changes and add some pieces in the offseason. We'll see what they are. But there's not, like, of the important guys, there's not anybody where I'm like, hey, you got to get rid of that dude. Or obviously the coach who you were never going to get rid of, but you feel even better about him, I think, now than you did going in. So I think it's just an overall success, and I could appreciate listening to them yesterday, not acting like finishing 500 is something to celebrate. Like, it's cool from where they came from, but it's not like they're looking at it like, hey, we just want to be a 500 team forever. So I feel like it's up from here. It does at least feel like it's up from here. It has not felt that way in previous years.
We've heard the question like multiple times where it's, you know, who do you build around?
Yep.
Shingun, Green, which is it? I've heard that that's kind of the wrong question to be asking.
What's the right one?
I was actually talking to McMahon, and I mean, he's not just pulling it out of nowhere. He thinks that the right question is not, who do you build around, Shingun or Green? He thinks that it's just based on everything that he gathers, who fits best with Thompson. So it's not even a question of which one feels better. It's the question that he thinks that they're asking and who they like the most is which one of them fits best with Thompson. So it's actually a different pair than what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think the best part of the season, like just basketball wise. The best part of the season was Amen Thompson showing you that he, like, Amen Thompson, I would bet every dollar that I have right now, if you can promise me health, that Amen Thompson will be an all-NBA defensive player multiple times in his career. I'd bet every dollar of my name to it right now. Like, he was that good defensively, can play that many positions. I feel like he's the most versatile player. He's another one of those high-ceiling players. I think there's something to that because here's the issue. Amen Thompson can't shoot. Well, Jalen Green has an inconsistent jump shot. You can just basically say he can't shoot. And then Alperen Şengün doesn't have an outside shot. How many guys is that same problem that they had back with the Russell Westbrook, Clint Capella days? How many guys can you have on a team in the modern NBA who can't shoot? So I think there is something to that.
Yeah.
I think there is something to that because I don't think Thompson's going anywhere. They're going to have to make a decision sooner or later on Green and or Şengün.
Who fits best with him is
I think there's something to that.
We got a stacked Reaction Monday. We'll hear from CJ, Will Anderson, D'Amico Ryans in the noon hour. Still nothing from Stephon Diggs, though. I don't know why they're scared. Maybe they're scared to be great. Speaking of which, an improvement that Diggs brings to the offense that nobody – is talking about. More with Landry Locker, B. Scott, Figgy Fig coming up next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Figgy, let's hit it big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Oh, the jokes are coming fast and furious every time y'all talk about this guy.
With Landry Locker.
Landry, I mean, you're going to be in midday forever now.
And John Lopez.
On occasion, Lopez makes a statement that's so ludicrous, it makes me pick my phone up and call you guys.
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
Your champ, 610.
Sports Radio 610.
An improvement Stephon Diggs brings to the offense that we aren't talking about. We're going to hear C.J. Stroud. We're going to hear D'Amico Ryans as well as Will Anderson today at noon. But B. Scott, little nobody's talking about for the people that are excited about Stephon Diggs and perhaps something that we are overlooking.
As simple as it sounds, especially when you're talking about football, I don't want to go David Culley on you and tell you that the most important part about playing football is the football.
The most important thing about football is the football.
But it is true. And Stephon Diggs, my guy, moves the chains. he moves the chains, and it sounds simple to say about a dude that's been an all-pro, has been a pro bowler. Of course he moves the chains, but he does it pretty much at an elite clip, almost better than anybody. And what did D'Amico Ryans, what have D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio talked about in the few times that we have heard from them in the offseason when they have talked about football, when they've talked about offense specifically? They've talked about wanting to improve on third down, wanting to move the chains, what we were talking about earlier about separators, wanting to have guys that can get open on third down, because as good as the Texans were, as great of a story as it was, as much of a turnaround as it was, they weren't very good on third down for the most part. They were
they really weren't very good on offense, if we're being completely honest.
Yeah, it was the way you term it is CJ saves all butts.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that going on. Now, not all the time, but it was a lot of that going on throughout the season. And when you think about it, especially with the running game not really being consistent and not really being there for a lot of time, like you just didn't – you didn't have the balance, nor did you have the third down efficiency that you want to have when you do have an elite quarterback, when you are a team that's got – high expectations like they are going to have this year as opposed to last year. So bringing in a dude like Stephon Diggs, and how does that translate? Well, you look at it, the Buffalo Bills were the best last year in third down conversion. Who was their top third down converter? Stephon Diggs by a slight margin over Josh Allen. So, and you think of Josh Allen as being the dude that you go to on third down, especially third and short. But Stephon Diggs, even in a quote-unquote down year, was – the top option on the best team on third down in the NFL. So you bring that element over to the Texans and it feel like you're cooking with grease, or at least you should be better than 20th.
For me, I just don't think they can be done on offense at this point. I know that you bring in Stephon Diggs. I know you feel good about CJ and you feel good about your receivers and Joe Mixon. I think they should still aggressively be looking for pieces that they can add different elements to the offense. And the thing that I look at is perhaps chess moves, because it's logical to look at the receivers and say, okay, you're set 1 through 5 or whatever. But if you look at it next year, Nick Caserio always talks about the 2-year windows. A lot of these guys are going to be on the final year of their deal, or they're on 1-year contracts. And that's Nico, that's Stephon, that's Noah Brown, that's yep. Robert Woods. So they're kind of on the final year. So it could be a dire need next year. Tight end as well. Dalton Schultz is on the final year. Brevin Jordan is going to be on the final. Well, Dalton signed a 3-year deal, but it's essentially a 1-year deal, depending on how they look. So I could see them maybe being open to getting the top tight end not named Brock Bowers if that person falls to him. But I don't think they can be done on offense. I don't think they can just completely ignore that area of the ball. They need a tight end that can do everything. To put with Dalton Schultz. And you can put those guys on the field at the same time, and they need to be open if it falls their way. I don't know if it's going to fall their way at receiver, but they need to be open to that too, and they also need another running back that can make plays, because right now they only have one that we trust, depending on how they feel about Damian Pierce. So I know we're looking at D-line, and there's been some momentum when it comes to corner and linebacker, but I don't think they can ignore the offense just because you added Stephon Diggs. I think there's still some work to be done, and you can get CJ more weapons, not just this year, but next year as well, if we're going to look at that 2-year window that Nick Caserio always speaks of.
Yeah, it was the issue I kind of had with the conversation once they did trade for Stephon Diggs. It was like, well, you just check receiver off. And I get it. Receiver is not as much of a priority, I feel like, going into the draft, obviously, because you've added Stephon Diggs. But it doesn't mean you cross it off. I think that you are still wanting to add weapons, whether it's – because you say this all the time. Like, if I can just write in, hey, give me a tight end.
Yeah,
give me a tight end that can do everything.
Give me a great D-lineman, Commissioner.
Hey, let me get that second string running back that I can, you know, give me my chase of pace back, my change of pace back for Joe Mixon, the guy that can spell him. Just write in the card and give me that guy, then you would do it. But that's not necessarily the way that it's going to fall all the time. So, hey, it might end up being defense, but what if the best – and I know people don't like to do this best player available.
No, I now do. You got I news. Absolutely do at this point.
But what if it is like, hey, the best player available is a receiver who, you know what, is a deep receiver class in a different draft class. This guy might be drafted higher. He might be, you know, a kind of a – a good bargain here. Maybe you just bring him in anyway for the reasons that you just mentioned, because you got receivers whose contracts are coming up. Like, I don't see the harm in it.
The other thing is, like, drafting for need, I think that it's kind of an eye roll for me because each draft is different. Like, last year we were talking about how awesome the tight ends were. This year it's really not a deep tight end draft.
Right.
Wide receiver this year is a strength. So if you're sitting where the Texans are and you're going, you know, 42 or wherever they're picking first, and you're sitting there and you're saying, okay, there's going to be a lot of wide receivers gone. There's going to be a lot of other positions. There's actually a chance that you have your first crack at a running back. Like, yeah, you could be the first team to take a running back.
Yeah.
You could be near the first team to take a safety. You could perhaps get the second best tight end not named Brock Bowers. So with where they're sitting and the way that it could shape up, instead of just saying we need this, like, let's say that they're watching running backs and they're just completely in love with one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
You get and there's one that is the number one running back on your board, and you get there and you can get that guy. I don't think they should shy away from that just to fill some sort of needs.
Yeah, like for the anti-best player available crowd, I would ask, like, what is the position if they get there and the best player available is this position that you would say, nah, we're good. For our 2-year window, we're so good at that position that we can't use that player. Like, I don't know if that position actually exists outside of quarterback, maybe outside of defensive end. You know, like, I don't know if that position exists. So, and especially not when we're talking about weaponry. Like, what if the question could just simply be, hey, is this guy better than our fifth best guy? You know, like, what if this guy just outplaces or displaces the John Metchies and Xavier Hutchinsons of the world? Are we willing to take that step? Like, does it matter enough to us to have weapons around CJ Stroud to take our fifth best receiver in the second round and then bet on maybe him being our second or third best receiver in the years to come? Like, I think it's worth to have the discussion.
The other thing that's kind of driving me a little bit, I don't want to say it's nuts, I just think it's kind of like an adjusted mindset when it comes to the draft is, I mean, I'm hearing these mock drafts and stuff, and they're fun. Like, I like the mock draft simulator as much as anyone else, but I would rather just see how day one plays out and then get a better grasp of how things are shaped up there, because there's just so much that can happen on day one, and I think you get to sleep on it, you get to discuss, you get to figure it out. Like, getting too far ahead, it would be one thing if they had their original first-round pick and you're just looking at a few things and it's going to fall this way, but there's just so much that can happen from day one to day two that it's hard for me to really just get gassed up about somebody with where they're selecting. It's almost like a crawl before you walk type of thing.
Well, this is why I like your running back idea, though, because I do feel like you can be pretty confident going into day two that it's not going to be a ton of running backs off the board, right? So, like, that's the one position we talk about devaluing the running back position. That's the one position where I think you can exploit the market a little bit and maybe get a valuable player who just is looked at because of his position, not drafted high, or you don't want to draft a running back high. Don't be that team if that guy can help you.
A young receiver in the NFL just got a contract extension. Should the Texans be following the lead and looking to extend one of their own? Plus, the most alarming draft fact of the year. Localizing it next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, Nico Collins, to extend or not to extend, that is the question. Devontae Smith just agreed on a 3-year, $75 million extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. That includes $51 million guaranteed. We know Stephon Diggs is going to be a part of things. He's in the final year of his deal. Nico Collins is in the final year of his deal. Do you think the Texans should be actively looking to extend Nico Collins right now, or should they let it play out on the field and see what happens?
Yeah, I would let it play out because, if you're Nico Collins, would you accept the deal anything less than this? Like, and I understand he hasn't had the years that Devontae Smith has had. Like, he hasn't had the continued success. He hasn't been to a Super Bowl, all of that. But I mean, I would look at myself as either a number one or number two receiver, and Devontae Smith is certainly at bare minimum a number two receiver. So if I'm Nico, I don't know if I'm even negotiating much less than this, if less than this at all. So I would let it play out. I've thought all along one of the interesting parts about trading for Stephon Diggs and especially converting the contract the way that they did, making it essentially a one-year deal, and everybody's a free, or those two guys at least could be free agents after this year. It feels to me almost like a number one receiver tryout. Like, I get that Stephon Diggs is your number one receiver coming in. I understand that. It's obvious. But I feel like that could change based off of how things go. Nico's development, Tank Dell's development, the chemistry with C.J. Stroud. Like, it almost doesn't even matter who's the best. Like, who's going to be best with C.J. this year? And if Nico has the type of year this year that he had last year, I don't see why.
What if he doesn't, though?
Yeah. And if he doesn't.
And I don't think he has to match the stats, because I think there's more targets with Diggs. But what if he doesn't?
Yeah. And
then
if,
what?
And if he doesn't, that makes the Texans all the more, you know, that makes it even smarter to not do it, right? Because you would be paying him based off of last year, whereas if you wait until next year and he doesn't have the same type of year, you could take both pieces of data into consideration, and maybe the number is not as much. It would be smarter for him, probably, if you're going to look at it that way, right? If he doesn't have the same type of year, he should be itching to sign an extension. Or he could bet on himself, and the Texans themselves can actually get some more information on the dude.
At the starting point for me, if you're talking 3 years, $75 million, I just don't know how it gets much larger than that. That's my thing with Nico Collins. Nico Collins comes out and has another really good year. Let's say he produces at a similar rate. Is it really going to be that much more than 3 years, $75 million?
Yeah.
That's my thing. Like, do you pay? Because you're looking at Devontae Smith. He had 1,000 yards the last 2 years. He had 900 before that. He's played every game. He's missed one game in 3 years. Nico's missed 13, I think, and that's not counting the times where he limps off the field or leaves the game early like the Jets. So he's been more available. He's been productive. He's kind of had A.J. Brown on the other side of him the last 2 years. So much like Stephon Diggs, I don't think you just completely – but is there any scenario where Nico Collins prices himself out of the $20 million-ish range? I mean, what if he misses five more games this year?
Yeah, we're talking 20, even cheaper. I mean, this is $25 million. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, no, I wouldn't even want to have a discussion, honestly, if I'm the Texans. I get it for Nico's side, and shout out to Nico if he can get the bag. But if I'm the Texans, I'm letting this thing play out and seeing if I can have a little bit better of a leverage point. And to your point that you're making, can it get much better than that? Like, or a back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons or top 10 type of seasons for Nico Collins going to make him more than a $25 million a year player? I doubt it. So, yeah, no, I think it's better for the Texans to probably wait unless they know something that we don't know.
On the text line, sticking with the wide receiver position, 2638 asks, do y'all think Mechie has a shot to realize the potential he had when we drafted him? ?
I mean, not based off of last year, but if you take it all into consideration, you got to give him some kind of benefit of the doubt, right? Like the potential, you got to remember how bad of a dude he was at Alabama, right? And now he kind of just looks like a guy out there. So, I mean, I think this is a big year for him and kind of determining that. But no, it would be hard.
I think it's a big camp for him.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know that he's a lock to make the roster.
That's a better way to put it. It's a big camp for him. And if he does make the roster, obviously it is a big year for him. But, you know, I don't think anybody past Noah Brown, the top three that we know and past Noah Brown, is a lock to make the roster, nor should they be.
Yeah, I would – it would not be the it would not be the craziest thing to see Mechie not make this squad. I'm rooting for the guy. But it would not surprise me the very least. So the Texans, a week from tomorrow, they're going to be putting out their uniforms. They just put out a video on Twitter. It's about 15 minutes.
Dude.
Hyping up these uniforms.
I've been so over this for so long. So over.
Man, I look excited in that video too, man.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just
They got them. My hair sticking up. I went right from the headphones there. They got my hair sticking up in the back.
I'm going to rock the gear. Mark. I ain't going to like. I don't want to be a hypocrite here because I'm not all that excited about it. But I'm going to rock the gear. I'm going to embrace it whenever the time comes. But the rollout, the anticipation, like.
You're not
dude,
into it?
I'm not in. I really want to be. Y'all remember when we were bowling that time, about a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
And they brought us in like one by one or by groups. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Man, I was into it. Into it. A year plus later, I'm like, man, let's just.
Just show the uniforms.
Just show the uniforms,
so
man.
People can react.
Let's just go. I'm more excited about the third helmet because I want that red helmet out there. And I want the red helmet
Wait,
out there
you want
more.
What?
I want the red helmet out there more.
You breaking news or something?
And I want the.
Is there a red helmet?
I want the white helmet. I mean, we've had. I'm not breaking no news. We've seen the red helmet the last 2 years.
Is there a white helmet?
The white helmet to go back to 2002.
Know. Yeah, I don't know, man. You're telling me something
I'm
I didn't
just
know.
Saying, I want them to do it. I want more helmet options. But as far as the uniform,
Jets
man,
dropped
I'm
their uniforms today. I didn't really notice a difference.
Oh, word.
Yeah, I didn't notice a difference.
I saw people were like into them, but I didn't. I was like, okay, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's something about the football unis, or when you stick with your same colors. Maybe there's something about that. When the colors don't really change, then it doesn't really do much for you. That's what's going on with the Jets for me.
It's a hell of a lot, man.
The Jets.
It's a hell of a lot. The uniforms, like. Hell of a lot.
I don't know what it would take for me to like not rock the gear or to not like embrace it at all, but man, the anticipation.
And there's a whole damn website right here, man. H-Town Made.
I do like the H-Town Made part, even though that's not necessarily indicative of all Houstonians. Not everybody here is H-Town Made per se, but I like it. You know, it works for me. I'm with it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think a lot of people setting themselves up for a little disappointment.
I mean, they doing a party and all of that, right?
Yes, yeah, April
23rd.
Who's modeling them?
Man, they've been better off if they had me out there modeling. I'm 175 pounds with my wallet and my phone in my pocket.
Well, they've hyped the hell out of this, though. This is a lot of hype, man. I'm
embrace it after the fact.
I'm rooting for him.
I'm gonna embrace it after the fact. It's just the buildup for me is going. You will see me in the gear once the gear is here.
Text line 5992. Shout out to everyone watching on YouTube and Twitch too. There's no way they aren't a disappointment with how much they've hyped these up.
Yeah, man. It goes kind of back to that principle of under promising and over delivering. Like, it should have just been those eye emojis the whole time about these uniforms. Maybe little nuggets here, little breadcrumbs here and there. But the fixation. I guess part of it had to do with them doing all of the market research, though, right? They wanted to talk to people, and so it was obviously going to get out there,
it's been
right?
going on for, like, 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, that is part of it. But and it is hard to tell them, hey, don't hype this up if they're genuinely excited about it themselves. But...
okay.
Yeah, man. Looking back, it's like, okay, let's just give it to them.
I mean, I hope everyone's pleased with what's going down.
I think everybody's going to embrace it eventually.
Okay.
I feel like most people are going to be like me. Pleased or not, like them or not, the Texans are on the upswing, right? You got CJ Stroud. Like, how bad do a CJ Stroud jersey have to look for you to not buy it? You know, how bad does a Will Anderson jersey have to look if you're truly excited about Will Anderson? How bad does it have to look for you to not buy it? So it is going to ultimately, and I think you've been on this too, Landry, like you're more focused on the team and them turning things around. Like the team itself being good is going to help the uniforms tremendously, whether they're good or bad.
Yeah.
You're going to put them on Tank Dell's little ass and you're going to be like, man, that's Tank Dell.
Yeah. And that in their defense, when they started, they didn't have much going for them when they started this hype.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. So right. So if the team was bad now, like, ooh, would we be super excited about this? Would we be rolling with this?
I don't know. Maybe in a sad, pitiful
kind of way.
Because this might be a light.
I think so. Maybe
this
in a,
might be a light.
Maybe in a sad, pitiful kind of way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was some controversy yesterday as the Rockets concluded their season. Boban.
Dude.
At the free throw line.
Fan favorite.
There's a promotion.
If you're a Clippers fan.
There's a promotion in L.A. where if you miss two free throws, if an opposing player misses two free throws, you get free Chick-fil-A. Boban missed the first. Crowd started cheering. He points to him and says, I gotcha. Mm-hmm. And he misses the free throw on purpose.
Yeah.
Slime ball.
Which I don't think took a lot.
Or not a slime ball.
Oh, man, not a slime ball at all.
That's a man of the people right there,
that
man.
That is a man of that. That is not seeing the forest. Or that's not being in a situation where you're not seeing the forest for the trees. Like, you understand the larger picture, the larger goal, knocking down these free throws. Look, the Rockets was probably going to win that game. There was a chance that they could lose it. There was enough time in the game, and it wasn't that big of a lead. There was a chance they could lose it.
It's an 8-point lead, 444.
But they were not headed anywhere, okay? Their season had been decided. The Clippers are going where they're going, right? Like, they're going to be, you know, in the playoffs. So everything is pretty much decided at this point. Why not do something for the thousands of people in the building? What harm does it? And like I said, man, it doesn't really take a lot for Boban to miss a free throw. All he said was basically, I'm not going to try. I'm not going to try to make it. That's good enough to miss it.
They ended up winning anyways. Finished the season 41-41. Coming up, have the Astros arrived? Is it time for the Astros to turn things around? We'll get into that. And speaking of turning things around, is there a scary scenario in which one of the threats to the Texans could strike fear into Texans fans? We'll discuss that next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.